Okay, good vach, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Gimel, and we have left off in a discussion about what the machlokas in the Mishnah is all about and what scenarios the machlokas is going on. If you remember, the Mishnah had said that a sukkah that's more than 20 amos is possible according to the Tanakhama, according to the Chachamim, and it's kosher according to Rabbi Yehuda. We had three opinions on Beis Mabeis as to when this machlokas applies. Rabbi Yoshia said it applies when the walls do not reach the schach, and therefore, if it's more than 20 amos, so then it's going to be no good according to Tanakhama, and it's going to be fine according to Rabbi Yehuda. And the logic simply was that if the walls go up to the schach, so then shalta ba'ein, a person will look all the way up, his eyes will follow up the walls and see that he's sitting in the sukkah, and he'll know that he's sitting in the sukkah. Then we had a machloket, that was Rabbi Yoshia, and then we had Rav Chanan bar Abba and Rav Huna that said that the machloket is when you're sitting in a small sukkah. Rav Huna had said if it's dalad by dalad, and Rav Chanan bar Abba had said if it's 7 by 7 tefachim. So now we had quoted at the end of yesterday, we quoted a brisa that quotes our machlokas, and Rabbi Yehuda tried to prove his shita that it's kosher from Heleni Hamalka. We said that Heleni Hamalka, for sure, right? She sat in a sukkah, and the Chacham didn't say anything to her, right? And we said Kol Maaseh, right? Where is it? Kol Maaseh. Right, she followed Chachamim on everything, and they didn't say anything to her. Right, so if now Rabbi Yehuda said, "Look, it must be right. It must be that I'm correct because Heleni Hamalka right is set in this sukkah that was bigger than 20 amos, and the Chachamim didn't say anything to her." Now the question, the proof that we're trying to bring as to which of the three opinions is the correct interpretation in our machlokas. Well, we had said at the end of yesterday, the beginning of Gimel Aleph over here, right, usually royalty will sit in a sukkah whose walls do not reach the schach, right, because it makes a lot of sense. You have to have a lot of wind, you have a lot of air coming in, you get a nice breeze going, you have a big, tall sukkah, right? You have the walls go up, let's say, most of the way, but you have a very good vent to get some air in here. And that's pashtus, the way that the queen was sitting in the sukkah. So it must be that that's the case, meaning if Rabbi Yehuda is trying to prove his shita from a case of Heleni Hamalka, right, it must be that it is true, like Rabbi Yoshia said, that the machlokas is when the walls do not go all the way up to the schach. Right, if you're telling me the machlokas is in some tiny, in a tiny sukkah, whether it's 4 by 4 amos or 7 by 7 tefachim, right, the last thing we just said, v'chidarka shalmalka leishibah sukkah ketana. What, Heleni Hamalka is going to sit in this tiny little nothing sukkah? No, of course not. So it must be, if Rabbi Yehuda is using this example to try to prove his shita, it must be that the machlokas is in fact, like Rabbi Yoshia said, where the walls do not reach the schach. So now we're going to have we're going to knock that aside a little bit, and then we'll go on to some other topics. So I'm within this same similar machlokas. Okay, I'm a Rabbi Bar Rav Ada Lomnitzchay El Lasuka Hasuya Kitanios Kitanios. Rabbi Bar Rav Ada said that no, maybe Rav Huna and Rav Chanan bar Abba could explain that proof of Rabbi Yehuda, because it could be that the sukkah for Heleni Hamalka was ketonios, had different parts to it, had different like kind of squared off areas. And v'chidarka shemalka leishay besukah asuya ketonios ketonios. The Gemara asked the same question. Well, what do you mean? You're going to have Heleni Hamalka is going to sit in this. Little tiny 4 by 4 sukkah that has a bunch of different compartments in it. So Rav Ashi, yeah, lunetzchay ela kitonios sheba. No, she had a really big sukkah, but she was sitting right in kitonios sheba. It was a very big sukkah, but she was sitting in one of the small little areas. And the machlokas is as follows: Rabbanan savri banei basukah ma'alya havu yasve vihivi yasva b'kitonios mishum tzniusa. The chachamim hold that her sons, right? If you remember yesterday, we were saying that her sons, right? It couldn't be she had 7 sons. Couldn't be that none of them had reached the age of chinuch yet, and somebody needed a kasher sukkah, right? A woman is potter from sukkah, fine, but it couldn't be that her sons didn't need a kasher sukkah. So the Rabbanan hold that the sons were in the proper sukkah, the big, massive, kingly, queenly size sukkah, and she was in one of the little corner areas that was 4x4 or whatever, or 7x7, because of Ritznias. And that's why the Chacham didn't say anything to her, because the sons were in a proper sukkah, they had the proper chinuch, and she was sitting off on the side, a woman's nachayv in sukkah, so they didn't say anything. For Rabbi Yehuda Savar, no, Banea Gaba Havu Yasvei. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the sons were with her. And even so, right, they didn't say anything. So therefore, the Rabbi Yehuda must have, right, that you could understand, according to Rav Huna and Rav Chanan bar Abba, that's what's going on. Tosis just points out over here that if you're telling me that a sukkah is 4x4 amos like Rav Huna, so that's machlokas, so fine. So I understand that you can get Helene Malka and her kids into this tiny little sukkah. Right, again, if you're telling me to review this over Banea Gaba, right, her sons were with her, right? So it must. I get that if it's a 4x4, 4x4 amos, okay, you can squeeze, you can get everybody in. But if it's 7x7 tefachim, so there's really no room over here. So it also says, and I mean, this is probably just according to Rav Huna, not necessarily Rav Chanan bar Abba. Okay, fine, just check that out over there. Fine. Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak. Shmuel bar Yitzchak says halacha tzricha shetei machzakas rosho v'rubo v'shulchano. The halacha is that a sukkah, as we mentioned yesterday, this is where Rav Chanan bar Abba brought this in. That the halacha is that the minimum shear of a sukkah is to have it has to be able to hold a person's head, most of his body, and his table. Now this Gemara, this is a quote from a Mishnah Daf Chaf Ches. Ordinarily, I just quote the Mishnah, which we'll do, but it's kedai to follow along. So if you want to flip to the Chaf Ches, the Gemara will quote this Mishnah, but it's much more kedai to read the Mishnah before we see the Gemara, because then you'll know, have a kind of a basis and know what the Gemara is talking about. So let's just skip. If you can flip over to Daf Chaf Ches Maralev quickly, the Mishnah says like this, right? The Mishnah towards right smack in the middle of the page. Misha Hayo Rosho Rubo Bisuka. If a person had most of his head and his body inside the sukkah and his table inside his house, right? But not uncommon in Eretz Yisrael, right? You'll have off the living room, you have a merpeset. Merpeset serves as a sukkah. You put the sukkah up, and there's really no. If you open up the sliding doors that lead to the merpeset, there could technically be nothing in between on the floor between the sukkah and the living room. Nothing interposing there. So theoretically, not a crazy thing, right? You're sitting in your sukkah. You're proper underneath the schach, and the table happens to be right inside the living room. Right? But you're eating where you're eating, right? You bring the food to you, and you're sitting under the schach. So that's totally fine. So the Gemara says, "Beisham epsulim." The Mishnah says, "Beisham epsulim poslim beisil machshirin." Beisham says it's possible. And Beis Hillel says it's kosher. Amr lem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai lo kacha emaisa shehalchu ziknei Beis Shammai Beis Ziknei Beis Hillel vakash Rabbi Yochanan ben Charonis. Right, Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, wasn't it the story that the Chachamim went to Rabbi Yochanan ben Charonis umatzo shehaya yoshev rosho v'rubo v'suko v'shulchano v'suko v'ayis, and they found Rabbi Yochanan ben Charonis sitting like this, right, on his merpeset with a table inside the living room. And v'lo amr lo davar, they didn't say anything. So amr lehem Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai said, Misham Rai, is that really a proof? No, they did say something to him. What did they say? They said, if this is how you always kept the mitzvah sukkah, lo kiyam the mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. You never ever fulfilled the mitzvah sukkah in your days. Okay, that's the quote from the Gemara, from the Mishnah. Now, this Gemara really is going to operate on that, and based on that, it'll help really with the reading of the Gemara. So the Gemara says like this. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, about seven lines down at Gimel Amud Aleph. The halacha is that the sukkah has to be able to fit all three of those things: a person's head, most of a person's body, and his table. Amalei Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba said, "Come on, who's that shita like? Is it Beis Shammai? Really, you're holding like Beis Shammai?" So Amalei said back to him, "Yeah, Ella, come on. Well, yeah, who do you think I'm holding like?" So Igadamri, or another version of that exchange, Amar Rabbi Abba, Damar Lachamani. Rabbi Abba said, "If anybody asks you, who do you hold like Amarlay? You should say Beis Shammai velo tazuz mino." Right? It's Beis Shammai, and don't move from that position. Yeah, I'm holding like Beis Shammai, even though right, he's usually the underdog. Fine. Maskevler of Nachum Bar Yitzchak or Maskevler asked the following question: the way I explain the Mishnah, right, is actually not entirely correct. The Gemara now assumes that the Mishnah on Daf Chav Ches is arguing by a small sukkah, meaning that I explained that you're sitting on your merpeset and your table is inside your house. That's not exactly accurate. The Gemara, we'll see in a second that it really is talking about two different cases, but the Gemara now assumes that Mishnah is not talking about when you're sitting in your merpesa and your shulchan is inside your house, but you're sitting in a sukkah that is not big enough to hold your table. So therefore, you're sitting in the sukkah, and the table is outside. So now that's where Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak asks. He says, how do you know that Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and that Mishnah are arguing about the size of a tiny sukkah? Because we said, what do we say? Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak says, the halacha is that you need to have a sukkah that has enough room for your head, most of your body, and your table. Right? Working off that Mishnah. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, how do you know that that's the machlokas in that Mishnah? Delma b'sukkah gadola pligi, maybe the machlokas is by a big sukkah, if you go to Yosef Apum, at the Metalosa, v'shulchan b'sukkah habayis. And it's like I actually explained. I probably explained, you know, incorrectly in terms of where we were in the Gemara, but maybe it's really a case where you're sitting on your merpesa and the table's inside the house. It's not talking about the minimum shear of a sukkah. So the Beis Shammai Savri Gazrinan, Shammai Mashiach HaShulchanov, Beis Shammai Savri Logazrinan. Right? Maybe, right, the Machlokas simply is, right, that Beis Shammai thinks that if your table's inside your house, so you're going to be drawn after your table, and you end up eating inside your house. Beis Hillel is not concerned for that. Videkanami, and the language of the Mishnah actually makes a lot of sense. Right, the Gatani, because what's the example in the Mishnah, right? The plain reading of the Mishnah says, Mishahayo Rosho Barubu Basukkah V'Shulchan Basukkah Bayis. Right, that's the story is some guy is sitting in a sukkah, and it happens to be his table is inside his house. So in that case, Beis Shammai Boslem, Beis Hillel Makshirin. Right, and in that case, Beis Shammai says no good. Beis Hillel says it is good. If you were really talking about the size, the minimum shear of a sukkah, it shouldn't have said told a story about how someone is sitting in a sukkah, his table happens to be outside. No, it should have said how much can this sukkah hold? If the can the sukkah hold his head, most of his body, and a table? So that's already, it should have used the language of how big the sukkah is. The Mishnah doesn't say that. It just tells a story about a guy who happens to have his table outside his sukkah. So it must be that the machlokas is, right, that you're not correct, meaning Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, the halacha is not necessarily, right, we don't work off of that Mishnah teaches us the halacha of the minimum shear of a sukkah. Maybe that machlokas is only where a guy happens to, again, like I explained, to be sitting on his merpeset and his table is inside his house. Okay, the Gemara says, 1 second, katana lo pligi? 1 second, the machlokas is not, you're telling me the machlokas is only when you're in a proper sukkah and the table is outside? They don't have the same machlokas when you're talking about the minimum shear of a sukkah, but really that they don't have that machlokas. Vaitanya, we learned in a braisa, and this the language is more accurate. Machzekes roshov rubu b'shulchano. Right? If, and again, this is we're going to quote two braisas, and we're going to assume one is Beis Shammai and one is Beis Hillel, just to pay before you get confused. The first braisa says machzekes roshov rubu b'shulchano. If a sukkah has enough space to hold a person's head, most of his body, and his table, so then ksheru, then it's kosher. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, and Rebbe's a third sheet to hear, we're not really concerned with him right now. Achihei ba arba amos al arba amos. Needs to be 4 amos by 4 amos. Vetanya idach, and another braisa says, Rebbe Omer kol sukkah she'en arba amos al arba amos psula, right, that's Rebbe's sheet, okay, that sukkah has to be 4 amos by 4 amos. Vechachamim omrim, and the chachamim say, afilu inu mechzekes el rosho verubo ksheru, right, all it needs to have is space for your head and your body. But it doesn't mention anything about the shulchan, right? So kashinado. So what's the deal with those prices, right? The prices quotes the machlokas against Rebbe. The chachamim on the one hand hold the first price says that you need to have enough space for your table, and the second price says you don't. It's Allah shmaminah Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. That must be Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So it actually is a machlokas in both cases that they're talking about both the minimum shear for a sukkah. And if you happen to be sitting in a big sukkah, but your table is outside. And that Mishnah on Chaf Ches, which we read before, also the language also supports this understanding. Because the language of puzzle and kosher, right? We said what happens? But the Mishnah, we had said the language of the Mishnah seems to imply that you're sitting on your merpeset and your table is inside. Because we told a story about someone who's sitting, Misha Hayarosha Rubo happens to be someone who's sitting inside and outside. Fine. So in that case, Beis Shammai says it's no good. Beis Hillel says it is good. Problem is, what's the language of Pusel and Kusher? Pusel and Kusher implies that we're talking about the sukkah. Right? If you're telling me we're talking about the size of a sukkah, so a sukkah that is X size is Kusher, and if it's less than X, then it's Pusel. If a person is doing something that is inappropriate because we're nervous that he may get pulled in after the table, pusel and kosher is not really the right words. Right? It's not that the sukkah is pusel. The sukkah is fine. You put up the sukkah on your merpeset, the big beautiful merpeset. The sukkah is fine. It's not pusel and kosher. It's a weird phrase to use if that's what you're talking about. Vim Isa, and if you're really talking about, right, again, just a story where a guy happens to be sitting in a big sukkah, but his table is outside, Beishamei Omrim Lo Yotza, Beisola Omrim Yotza Mibayale, right? It shouldn't have said Puzzle and Kosher. It should have said Yotza and Lo Yotza. Right? The guy himself is Yotzi the Mitzvah or not, because, you know, maybe what goes in Midirabana and going to Beishamei, then he might get pulled in after his table. That's better language. So why does it say Puzzle and Kosher? So it must be they're also arguing about this minimum shear for a sukkah. I velakasha mishahaya. Well, one second, but if you're telling me the machlokas is that they're arguing about the minimum shear of a sukkah, then why do we phrase it at the beginning like, oh, someone happens to be sitting in a sukkah and his table is outside? No, just say the size of the sukkah is enough to hold X, Y, and Z, is enough to hold his head, his rosh, his head, his body, and his table. Sigmar says, la'olam batarti plegi. Really, that Mishnah has two machloksim going on. Pligi basuka ketana, or pligi basuka gedola. Really, the argument is about the minimum shear for a sukkah, and the argument is also if a person is sitting in a big sukkah, but his table happens to be outside. And really, the Mishnah is missing words. This is what it means to say. If a person is sitting on his merpeset, most of his body is in the sukkah, and then his table is inside his living room. Right? Straight up machlok. Like we said before, and in another case, a separate case, if he's sitting in an area where he's sitting in a sukkah that only can hold his head and most of his body, so in that case, okay, gevaldik. Now, man tana lahad tana rabbanan. Who is the tana who holds the following? Now, if you remember, we quoted right in the Brisas, machlokes between Rebbe and Beis Shammai on one hand and Beis Hillel in another Brisa. The Rebbe said the sukkah needs to be dalet by dalet, 4 amos by 4 amos, and the other time, right, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel held that it can be smaller. So they want to know if that's true, or based on that machlokes, who holds that? What about the following? Is maybe the following Brisa is like Rebbe, because he holds that the minimum shear for a sukkah is 4x4. Right? It says the Braisa, Bais she'inlo arba amos al arba amos. If you have a house that's less than 4x4 amos, so what's the deal? So we're about to quote a bunch of halachos. Most of them, I guess we'll explain afterwards, but they don't all have the same reason. But long story short, if you have a house that is less than 4x4, it's going to be pater from a lot of halachos revolving around a house, and it's a pretty long list. Tozer is obviously once you get a list like this in the Gemara, very often the Rishonim will view that as a challenge, and they say challenge accepted, and they'll try and bring other cases. So Tozer brings a couple other cases that one I think in Yerushalmi, I think it's on Amud Beis. Basically, all these long things, let's just to remember, we're going to try and say, I'm going to explain each one of these, but the point of the Brisa is to prove that maybe Rebbe is the one who holds all these things, because a house that is less than 4x4 amos, right, is not a valid house. And therefore, let's dive in, if it's not a good house, then Potter min mezuzah obviously doesn't need a mezuzah. Umin amaka is a rule that if you have a roof, you have to put a gate up, but if the roof is not 4x4, then you don't need to put a gate, you don't need to put a fence. Vinu metamim bin agayim, the halachos of tsaras only apply to a house that's bigger than 4x4 tvachim, amos. Ve'inu nechlat b'batei arechoma, and it's not included in the halachos of batei arechoma. Batei arechoma, the law is that if a person sells a house that is in the wall of a city, so the special halacha is that he has 1 year to redeem it, and if he does, to buy it back, in other words, and if he doesn't, so then it stays the new owner's property, even in Yovel, which normally people who sell property, it reverts back for Yovel, but in this case, by the case of a house and a wall, so it's not true, but a house that's 4x4 is not included in that. It does not count as a house in a wall for these halachos. Vein chosra love me'orchei ha'melchama. A person, I said, there's a halacha of people who had just built a new thing, a new, if they got married, if they built a new house, if they have a new vineyard. So if that person does not have to go out to war because they'll be concerned about it, a house that's less than 4x4 is not included in those halachos. Vein me'arvin bo, vein mishtafin bo, vein manichin bo eruv. It's not, you don't use it as an eruv, you don't use it as, it doesn't count in a shtufin mevos, you don't put an eruv in it. We'll talk about those halachos in a second. At length on the base, vein osno so ibur ben shtei arayos, that cannot combine two cities In terms of Tchum, we said that, if you remember from Erevin, that if two cities have a karpef, have like kind of like a no man's land, that's if it's 70 2/3 amos, that's how much we assume that the karpef extends outside of a city. So if you have two cities whose karpefs will touch, but they do not overlap, so if you have a house in the middle, that extends, that basically halakhically combines the two cities, and anybody who sets up residence in one city can walk straight to the other city without worrying about tchum, and it's considered to be one big city. So if you have a house that's less than 4x4 amos in the middle of these two cities, that is not an ibor ben shtei ayaros, that does not combine the two cities. Veina achin v'shut v'nchokimbo, and brothers and partners do not divide such a 4x4 house if it's less than that, with, you know, if they're talking about an inheritance or whatever. So, excuse me. So, Rebbe, right, so Lema Rebbe, maybe that's Rebbe, Vla Rabbanan. Because again, if you remember Rebbe and Rabbanan, right, that's what Rebbe said, the has to be 4x4, Sukkah has to be 4x4 for it to be good. Maybe this is Rebbe Shita, that 4x4 is a valid structure, and the Chachamim disagree with him. So the Gemara says, Afil Tema Rabbanan. No, you could even say that this is, this according to the Rabbanan, because Akan Lokamir Rabbanan has a Melalinian Sukkah. Why do the Chachamim say an area that's 4x4, less than 4x4 is good? Right, the Diras Arayu, because that, we're talking about a Sukkah, which is not a permanent dwelling, it's a Diras Arayu. Aval agave bias to dearest kavahu, but if you're talking about something permanent, right? So then, I feel the rabbanon mode that maybe the rabbanon agreed. D is be dalad amos or dalad amos dairi be inchi, right? Because if it's 4x4 amos, then people can live there. Low dairi be inchi, but if it's smaller, then people do not live there in a permanent faction. Okay, now we're going to go back to this brisa and kind of analyze a little bit, and that'll take us to the end of the daf. We said before, Potem in a mezuzah, in a makah, in a metam of benegayim, in a nechlep of batari choma, in chuzra love mercha and milchama. Those first five halachas that we quoted, my time up, why is that? So those are, because those are mentioned in the Chumash, and the bayis ksibahu, bekulhu. By all of those halachos, it says bayis, right? A house that has a tzaras, a bayis, a person who built a new house, right? Bate arichoma, right? Okay, so all those halachos, etc., right? Mezuzah needs a house. The market needs a house, right? So, fine. So that's because it has said a bias, and a house that's 4x4 is not a legit bias. You can't put an eruv. You don't need to use an eruv with it. You don't use a shtufim vos. You don't put an eruv in it. My timeout. Why is that? Because it's not fit for dwelling. So basically, it doesn't combine. Now, when you say in ma'arvin bo, it means it doesn't need to combine. Doesn't need to add to the Erev, if you're making an Erev between Chatzeros, if you remember. V'mishtatfim bo, it also doesn't need it to contribute to the Shtufim Mavos, if you remember. Just to clarify that, basically the standard structure that the Mesachas Erevin uses is that, let's say there are four houses that are across from each other. And each house had a Chatzer, yeah? And that Chatzer led into an alleyway that led into the Rishus HaRabim. So you have bayis chater on each side, and the alleyways in between. So if one of those houses is less than 4x4, so that does not need to join in an area or in a shtufim mavos or an area of chateros. And you also can't put the area there, because that doesn't count. Basically, that house is not included in Erevin. Okay, so the Gemara says, the Gemara learns out though, Irvi Chatzeros in Manichimbo, Aval Shituf Manichimbo. Right, when we said in Manichimbo Eruv, you can't put the Eruv, again, when we say an Eruv, we think about a little string of string going around the neighborhood. Here, an Eruv Chatzeros, which Erevin talks about at length, is you would collect some bread from everybody in the courtyard, everybody that uses the courtyard or the Shtuf Mavos, whatever, and you'd put that bread in one of the houses. So that 4x4, the less than 4x4 house, that you can't put the Eruv Chatzeros in, but you can put the Shtufim Mavos. The Shtufim Mavos is basically the same device, but you take some food or wine or whatever it is from each of the people who have a Chatzer leading into the alleyway, and that basically, you put it in one of the Chatzeros, and that's your Shtufim Mavos, and everybody can use the Mavoi, everybody can use the alleyway. So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara learns that you can't put an Eruv Chatzeros in that 4x4 house, or 3.99x3.99 house, but you can put the Shtufim Mavos. My time, why is that? To look Gora Mechatzer Shabimabu, because it's not any worse than a Chatzer. Right? Because again, if you have house chatzer, then alleyway. So what are we doing with the? What's the point of putting an eruv for the alleyway so you can carry from the chatzer into the alleyway? Well, if you have a three and a half by three and a half house, right, less than 4 by 4, so it's not going to be considered a house for the eruvin, but it certainly is considered to be a chatzer. So you could put the shtufim mavos, as we said, the eruv for the mavui goes in the chatzeros, and the eruv for the chatzer goes in the house. So you can put it in the 4x4 house if you're talking about a shtufim mavos, because you're just putting in the chatzer anyway, right? It's not any worse than one of the chatzeros that's in front of one of these houses. That's what the Gemara explains right now. My time, but the lugar mechatzer shabbat mabah, it's not any worse than a chatzer. That's not unless we're in the Mishnah, right? Eruvi chatzeros bechatzer shtufim mivos b'mavoi. You put an eruv chatzeros, right? If you're combining a chatzeros into one chatzer, so you put that in a chatzer. You put shtufim mivos in a mavoi. V'avina baba, we explained what's going on over here. No, that's not true. Eruvi chatzeros bechatzer. You can't put the eruv chatzeros in the chatzer. That's not within the Mishnah. Nosin eruv b'bayis. Nosin eruv b'base shar. Achsadro mer passes in an eruv. If you put the eruv in a base shar with in a gate, or an achsadra in some sort of gazebo or a merpesis, that's not good. Vadarsham in an osir. And someone who lives there, right, if he doesn't join the eruv, right, if you remember from eruvin, so everybody in the chatzer, let's say if you have six houses that lead into one chatzer and they want to be able to carry in the chatzer, every single person has to contribute to that eruv chatzeros. If one person doesn't, that messes up the entire everybody else. No one else can carry. So if someone lives in any of these places, the Beis Shar, the Achsadra, or Merpesas, that doesn't aser anybody. That doesn't ask everyone else if he doesn't contribute. So Ella Amos, or rather, you have to reword the Mishnah that we just learned. Eruvi chatzeros bebayis shebechatzer v'shtuvim mevaos bechatzer shebemavoi. And you put, right, again, so what's the proper place? Like I had said it straight up before, but what's the proper place for an eruv chatzeros? So that's in a house that's in a chatzer. And what's the proper place for a shtuvim mevaos? That is in a chatzer that's going into the mavui, that it's going into the alleyway. V'hai lo gara mechatzer shebemavoi. And this less than 4x4 amos house is not any worse than a chatzer that leads into the alleyway. Okay, v'ein osno so ibur ben shtei ayaros. You can't use it to combine two cities in terms of tchum. Why not? Da'afilu ku burgonim lo mishavin. Like, it's not even like burgonim. Burgonim are little huts that people who are, let's say, shepherds or people who are watching over fields or fruits or whatever would make for themselves. It's not even like that. It's not even as good as that. My time. Oh, why is that? Because burgonim chazur l'masayu. Because these little burgonim, these little kind of huts, they're fit for their purpose. Right? The guy will stay there. The shepherd will stay there. The fruit watcher will stay there. V'hai lo chazur l'masayu. But this little less than 4x4 house is not even, it's not fit to be a house. It's not even fit for what you built it for. Right? It's no good straight up. And therefore, it's less valuable than a burgonim. Okay, and you don't split. You're not able to split or force someone to split this space. Time up. Apparently, the less by dalid amos, ha'is by dalid amos choken. The implication is, if it's less by 4x4, you can't make them split it. But if it is, right, then you can. The problem is, in choken, we learned in the Mishnah that in choken as a chotzer ashiyei ba'arba amos lazevi ba'arba amos lazeh. So the minimum shear to split a chotzer between two, let's say two brothers or whatever, is not 4x4, it's 4x8. Right, each one has to be able to have dalet amos. So ela ima in bo din chalukei kachotzer. No, it doesn't have any halacha. It's not involved bechalal in the halacha of splitting a chotzer. Tam Rav Huna, because Rav Huna said chotzer lefi you split up a chotzer based on its entrances. Rav Chista Amar, no sin the chol pesach or pesach arba amos. V'ashar cholken. Rav Chista says that when you're splitting a chotzer, each entrance gets 4 amos in the chotzer, and the rest you split up in the middle. B'shavet. Whatever it's right again, obviously whatever the number is left, you split that down the middle. Right, dani mili bais dilemehave koi, because this is all making sure. Because this is all applies to a house that's lemehave, that's going to exist, that's going to last. Again, the whole idea about splitting a chutzner and giving someone dalet amos is because when you're going to be bringing stuff in to the chutzner, to the house, right, you need some sort of little dalet amos area, right, to put your stuff down, right, to unload or whatever it is. But so any house that's going to have function, we give it Dalet Amos in the Chatzar. Therefore, you're going to give it part of the Chatzar. But hi, but this house that's less than 4x4, right? Dele Mistar Koi, that's going to be destroyed anyway, because the Mistar, right? Stira, right? Soser, right? It's not usable. You're just going to destroy it anyway. So Lali Yavin Le Chatzar, you're not going to end up giving it Chatzar, Dalet Amos in the Chatzar. Therefore, it's not Shayach to this law, right? If you're splitting a big Chatzar that has many entrances, and one of the entrances is into this 4x4 house, or less than 4x4 house, so that does not count. That does not get cheshbened out in the land that's getting divvied up. Okay, we'll go right down ahead of the shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.